This is Dan Aerberg, aka the Florida Lawman, on the Midas Network. I would typically be talking about Trump, but here at the Midas Network, we have an abundance of reports on that psychopath. So I decided to pivot and discuss a situation that has grabbed legal minds and headlines in my own backyard, Florida. Today, we have three very special guests. And if you happen to be a Florida attorney and haven't heard of them, then you're probably a Trump lawyer and incarcerated or out of breath from chasing one too many ambulances. Each of our guests today are the living, breathing central characters in the best-selling tell-all whistleblower book, The Ninth Circus Court, My 30-Year Job from Hell. This amazing book was written by the former chief technology officer of Florida's Ninth Circuit Court, Mr. Brett Oquette. And this poignant and at times caustic tale, Arquette pretends his 30 years of working for the Ninth Circuit Court was a circus of sexual discrimination, coercion, and a hostile workplace. In the end, Arquette contends he was wrongfully terminated by Chief Judge Mannion. In his narrative, Arquette explains the elected public defender for the 18th Circuit, Blaise Tredis, initiated Arquette's termination by sending Chief Judge Mannion a complaint email. In the end, meaning the end of Mr. Arquette's career, Chief Judge Mannion fired Arquette to fulfill a wish to the former Chief Judge of the Ninth Circuit and her self-professed mentor, Belvin Perry. Welcome, all of you, to our podcast. I'd like to start at, more or less, the beginning of the end of Mr. Arquette and ask you, Mr. Tredis, the elected public defender of the 18th Circuit Court of Florida, why you sent that blistering email to Chief Judge Mannion. To fill in our listeners, it was about Mr. Arquette working part-time for a company called Depotech, which was his wife's company. Depotech provided deposition services to your agency for more than a decade.
Hi, Dan, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being a coveted guest on the Midas Network.
It was simple. I discovered that Mr. Arquette was receiving a check from the state of Florida while also working for his wife's company. That's double dipping and not allowed.
Did you know at the time that 20 years prior to Arquette working for his wife's company, the chief judge at the time, Belvin Perry, gave him permission for this exact thing? And the Ninth Circuit Court Administrator also elicited an opinion from the Florida Attorney General's office to verify there was no conflict of interest in Mr. Arquette working for his wife's company. The AG found no issue, as did the ninth sitting chief judge at that time, Belvin Perry.
No, I just felt it was information the current chief judge should know.
And this had nothing to do with the $30,000 Depotech notarized contract you signed that you had no intention of paying.
No, of course not.
So out of the blue, after Depotech had been your deposition company for decades, you simply decided to rat out Arquette to Mannion. You have to understand that on the surface, this sounds like a childish thing to do. You get mad at a vendor, and so you stiff the company for 30 large, and then try to get the guy fired by the chief judge.
I don't know if I would call it childish, but it's not like the voters really care. One thing that Mr. Arquette was absolutely correct in his novel, The Ninth Circus Court, is no one cares. Are you kidding me? If you haven't noticed, half of America's give-a-shit censor is busted. You know, the most disturbing thing about the give-a-shit censor going on the fritz, at one time, I thought that Americans were pretty smart people. You know, we're Americans in a rich country, so naturally, our populace is smarter and more sophisticated than just about any other country. Okay, it's a given the British sound smart by simply talking. Then, not long ago, I came to the startling realization that half of all Americans are mentally retarded or have a serious debilitating mental disorder. So yeah, I do whatever I want because half of all Americans are fucked in the old brain sack and could care less. No one wants the job of public defender. So, yes, I can certainly sign notarized contracts I don't intend to pay, and I'll still get voted back into office. If you haven't noticed, half of the American voters are fucking crazy cult followers. And even if they were all sane, no voter really cares who their elected public defender is or what they've done. Hell, they would be happy if my office lost every case it had. After all, who would complain that our perceived criminal, low-life, destitute clients got what they deserve? I bet you could walk up to 100 Seminole County voters and none of them would have ever even heard of me. I get voted in not by my name or qualifications or past crimes, but by the voter pulling the big party handle in the booth.
You don't believe the Florida bar cares that you broke the law?
I'm still here, aren't I? Does that answer your question? If Chief Judge Belvin Perry can get sued for sexual harassment and have the state settle for tens of thousands of dollars with no Florida bar sanctions, then yeah, the Florida bar could give a shit.
That very interesting slant of your office. And based on the quality of past Seminole elected officials, such as Joel Greenberg, former Seminole tax collector who was sentenced to 11 years in prison, and his personal friend, the disgraced Representative Matt Gaetz, having a crooked public defender kind of makes sense in your county.
I knew you would understand.
You mentioned that no one cares who the public defender is. In Mr. Arquette's novel, The Ninth Circus Court, he states that Florida chief judges are corrupt and unethical because there is zero oversight and they can get away with any type of behavior due to that fact. Since you're being upfront with us, is that also the case with elected public defenders?
Absolutely. Most of the time, I don't even come to work, as is the case with most of the elected public defenders in Florida. I hire an office chief that runs everything, and I more or less collect the paycheck. I don't even have to collect it. I have direct deposit.
So you're telling us that you could literally not show up to work for an entire year and no one would notice?
Notice or even care. You have to ask yourself, who would raise a flag of concern? And even if they did, who would they report it to? The attorneys my chief hires are newbies right out of law school. They're green and only with us for about a year before we cycle them out, or they're good enough to get a job that pays enough to kill their student loans. They certainly don't want to screw themselves by getting fired from the public defender. They'd be like getting fired from being a Walmart greeter. Their law career would be over.
Very interesting. Blaze, please stay with us while we break for our first 30-second sponsor message.
If our brigaders think that our new Supreme Court is biased and corrupt, or you feel that our federal judges like Aileen Cannon are conflicted, as Donald Trump would say, well, there are just as many state courts that have no oversight and are running amok. Now that I have a little more free time, I'm going to do a deep dive down on beatdown on the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida, where the chief judge there has apparently lost her mind. The former chief technology officer, Brett Arquette, has written a tell-all whistleblower book called The Ninth Circus Court, My 30-Year Job from Hell, and it is one hell of a read. Brilliantly written. It's funny at times, hence the first 30 pages, and demonstrates how a court with the ability of a chief judge to fire anyone at any time for any reason, with zero repercussions, can go off the rails. Visit Arquette's publishing company, pbiabd.pub, to read half of his masterpiece for free. Remember, PBIAB is an appropriate acronym that stands for payback is a bitch.pub. Read half and then sign up for our Midas Touch newsletter to get a link to read the second half for free as well. Help us hit the 3 million subscribers. Join us at Political Beatdown to hash Arquette's book and get some justice for Arquette and his family.
Welcome back, our Midas Mighty. We've already had some insight by a self-proclaimed corrupt elected Florida public defender, Blaze Tredis. But now it's time to invite the next main character in Brett Arquette's best-selling whistleblower novel, Chief Judge Lisa Monyon from the Florida Ninth Circuit Court, into the conversation. How are you, Judge Monyon?
That's Chief Judge Monyon, and I'm doing very well. Thank you.
There is so much to talk about that I don't really know where to start. I did read Brett Arquette's novel, The Ninth Circus Court, and I found it well-written and eye-opening from a court administration standpoint. Let's start by discussing your writing up Mr. Arquette over the email that Blaze Tredis sent you. Was Mr. Arquette correct when he stated that you were told by your very own court administrator, Matt Benefiel, that your mentor and chief judge at the time, Belvin Perry, gave Mr. Arquette permission to work part-time with his wife's company?
Yes, but I thought it was still a public perception issue.
Did you discuss this with Mr. Arquette before writing him up?
No, I had court administration issue the reprimand.
Why am I getting the impression that at some level you are afraid of Mr. Arquette?
Hardly. I'm a chief judge of a large circuit court. Little people in court administration, like Mr. Arquette, don't intimidate me. I have the ability to fire them with little to no recourse.
Most of the public out there has learned a lot about Mr. Arquette's book by listening to all the embarrassing audio phone calls and discovery that have been made public. This includes your own judges discussing you and Perry during a lunch break.
That is all AI, and you should ignore it.
That sounds like something Trump would say. One thing is certainly undisputed, that you orchestrated having Mr. Arquette's home raided by the Orange County Sheriff's Office. During that raid, they took every computer and hard drive the Arquette family owned, as well as pulling Arquette's son out of bed at gunpoint. As a Florida state attorney, I realized that was you flexing your chief judge muscles in an attempt to intimidate Arquette, but you also had another objective, to seize his follow-up novel to the Ninth Circus Court.
I didn't have anything to do with that. Court administration took that action.
You know that I'm a Florida state attorney, and even I know that court administration cannot take that action without the chief judge's permission. That would never happen. And let's say you have some crazy court administrator. Why would he take that action 2 full years after Arquette was fired by you, and even more nonsensical, have a Tenth Circuit judge sign the search warrant?
That's why they had a Tenth Circuit judge sign the warrant, because I never knew about it. My unloyal court administration staff went behind my back on this.
What makes much more sense is that you and your mentor, Balvin Perry, were super pissed off that Arquette wrote his best-selling novel, and you were bound and determined to make him pay by having his home raided and pulling his son out of bed at gunpoint. Even though there's audio on Arquette's publisher's website of a phone call between you and your circuit state attorney with you demanding they file a criminal complaint against Arquette, you still claim that you had nothing to do with it?
That's correct. My court administrator, Matt Benefiel, went behind my back. He's always had an axe to grind with me and Belvin, and this act was his method of payback.
Ouch, that sounded super dramatic. Why would he do that? What's in it for him? On the contrary, if your state attorney charges Arquette with a crime, then the entire mess moves into the courtroom. That will put almost all of court administration, as well as past employees, in the deposition room and on the stand. Furthermore, Arquette could depose current judges who know his claims. That's a huge mess for court administration, and no court administrator would want to put him, his staff, and even his family through that.
What's your question?
Here's my question. If you and Belvin are so pissed at Arquette and how he depicts you in his book, then why don't you sue him?
I'm a sitting Florida Circuit Chief Judge, and I don't think it's appropriate.
But you think it's appropriate to stiff-arm the state into charging him with a crime?
I've already explained that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Your court administrator went rogue thing, you claim. Well, Belvin Perry isn't a judge. So why isn't he suing Arquette?
I can't speak for Belvin. You'll have to ask him.
Fortunately for us, Belvin Perry is our next guest, and we'll be right back with him after this brief message from our sponsor.
Here at the Midas Touch, we get giddy when we find a new high-tech author. Love techno thrillers, and if you're looking to add another top-notch best-selling author to your reading list, then I recommend Brett Arquette and his amazing high-tech books known as the Hale series. Marshall Hale was a husband, a father, a physics Nobel Prize winner, an industrial billionaire. But when Hale's family was killed in a terrorist attack, he became a deadly predator and redirected his vast industrial assets toward one goal, removing every person on the FBI's top 10 terrorist list. With the help of his MIT colleagues, Hale designed and built a devastating arsenal of attack drones of all shapes and sizes that are flown by the nation's best young gamers. The world will come to realize that Marshall Hale possesses the capability of killing anyone, anywhere, at any time, unleashing an operation so disturbing that the CIA has named it Operation Hailstorm. Arquette has already knocked out 6 Hale books and is working on the 7th. Visit Arquette's website at arquette.us, and you can either read or listen to the first book in his series, Operation Hailstorm, for free. While you're there, check out the movie trailer for his pivotal 7th book in the series, Hailswarm. If you want to read something new that will knock your socks off, Arquette's novels are one hail of a ride.
You're back with Dan Ehrenberg. aka the Florida Lawman on the Midas Network. We've heard from two of the three main characters in Arquette's stunning whistleblower novel, The Ninth Circus Court. Now joining us, we have the third and frankly the main character in the book, Belvin Perry. Arquette contends that Perry is a psychopath whose high in life is power, which led to sexual abuse and corruption and created an impossibly hostile work environment. I hope that didn't make you feel uncomfortable. Welcome to the show, Belvin.
Thank you. And I wanted to specifically thank Chief Judge Munyon for asking me to join her.
With a limited amount of time, let's jump right into it and ask if Mr. Arquette was being truthful when he wrote that when you were Chief Judge of the Ninth Circuit Court. You allowed your girlfriend, a court administration employee, to work from home for a decade without any job duties. If true, and considering she was making $70,000 a year, that would register the extent of fraud to the Florida taxpayers at close to $1 million.
Well, I've had some time to think about how I would handle this, and I have to admit that women have always been attracted to me. And to be honest, it's hard for me to resist when they throw themselves at me.
So you admit that you sexually harass court administration female employees?
I wouldn't call it sexual harassment. I would just call it sex. And yes, there were many and often, like I said, women love me. Maybe it's my down-home southern charm.
And you're not worried about losing your law license or getting sued by Arquette?
Arquette can sue the court, which means the state of Florida, where I once worked. But he can't sue me personally. Plus, the state has settled sexual harassment lawsuits filed against me when I was sitting chief judge. They have deep pockets and can pay for more of them if they want. And as far as my law license goes, Morgan & Morgan made me a multimillionaire and I'm at the end of my career. So the answer is yes, everything in Arquette's book is true.
Is that the reason you didn't sue him for writing his book?
Yeah, lawsuits are expensive and putting me on the stand would also put Lisa on the stand. And she is still at risk of losing her law license. After all, she knew specifically about my sexual relationships with court administration staff. Hell, we even had our own little fling when I was her boss at the state attorney's office. So Lisa has a lot of legal exposure. Me, I don't, and I don't really care about Arquette's book or accusations. I had a great life.
Belvin, excuse me, Dan, for a moment while I put you on hold. We'll be right back. Goddamn you, Belvin. You said if we did this show, then you would have my back. Now you're putting it all on me after this 20-year shitstorm you created.
I didn't tell you to fire Brett.
I know, but we understood that if ever I got a chance to fire him, then it would make you happy.
How would that look? I'm not even a judge. You got yourself into this, and you need to get yourself out. Put on your big chief judge pants and figure it out. You know, I did a lot of crazy shit and always covered my tracks. I admitted to almost everything in Brett's book. I know you're jealous, but I can't help that women are attracted to me.
Are you kidding me? You're ugly as fuck, Belvin. You could gag a maggot. Those young court administration females were only attracted to your power, not your tiny Trump mushroom-headed dick or your face that looks like a zit that's ready to pop.
You made a lot of mistakes. I would have never tried to have Brett arrested. Now, you're on the record, that's a massive state coercion lawsuit if I ever seen one. And that's on you.
You were the one who told me to have his home raided.
Wow. Looks like Chief Judge Munyon doesn't understand how the mute button on a phone works, or maybe it's a technical issue, but this looks like a good time to take our last sponsor break. We'll be right back with more Ninth Circuit fireworks after.
If you're a self-published writer or independent author and can't afford the fat stacks to turn your masterpiece into an audiobook, then the new and cutting-edge technology at Collab Narration is the answer. They patented the process, which means they are the only company on the face of the planet that can turn your novel into not only an audiobook, They can create a synthetic audiobook where you choose the voice for every character. That's right. Each of your characters has their own voice, which means the historical flesh and bone narrator trying to sound like a woman, then a man, then a child has been replaced with lyrical AI voices in which, if so desired, you can choose their emotion for each sentence. And if that isn't enough incentive, instead of thousands of dollars to have your book read by a human narrator, they even have an option where you can seamlessly mix your favorite cloned human narrator with AI voices. The future of audiobooks is here today, but at $299 for the finished product, there is a long line for their service. It costs nothing to take a number. So jump on it at collabnarration.com. To hear what all audiobooks will sound like in the future for free, you can listen to Brett Arquette's entire best-selling second book in his Hail series, Hail Strike. Just an FYI. Collab Narration is also partnered with Midas to exclusively create their amazing synthetic trial audio transcripts. So instead of reading the transcript, you can listen to the synthetic audio on your drive home, subscribe to Midas, and join our newsletter to receive the latest links to new trials as our partner Collab Narration cranks them out and help us crack the 3 million subscriber mark.
And you're back with Dan Ehrberg, aka the Florida Lawman on the Midas Network. Unfortunately, during the break, we informed Chief Judge Mannion and Perry that their muted phone call was a live broadcast that went out to not only a national audience, but worse for them, an international audience of the Midas Mighty. Just when we had peeled back a lot of layers from this fettered onion, Mannion and Perry opted to terminate the interview, and Blaise Tredis informed us he had to leave as well for a scheduled massage appointment at his home on a Monday, which is typically a work day for most of us who aren't Florida elected officials. As our sponsors previously mentioned, the Midas Network is in negotiations to exclusively supply Midas with synthetic recreations of trial transcripts, which means instead of reading the transcript, you, our Midas subscribers, can listen to the trial on the long drive home. You can hear a sample of the Stormy Daniels testimony, which Collab Narration contends is their audition to join the Midas Network. You can listen to this amazing recreation at collabnarration.com. The link is on their homepage. Until next time, this is Dan Ehrberg, aka the Florida Lawman on the Midas Network. Please subscribe and help us crack the 3 million subscriber mark.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas newsletter at midas.com/newsletter. We've teamed up with Collab Narration to exclusively offer their patented audio, recreations of all your favorite trials and witnesses, and you can only receive the links in our newsletter. So subscribe and sign up now, and let's pass the 3 million subscription mark.